All right, church, let's pray together. By the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our midst, open our hearts and minds, O God, to your holy word, present now and always for the sake of your holy name. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts: gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. In my office right now, there is a picture hanging on the wall that says, "Wise men still seek Jesus." And it shows the wise men. Looking at it, I can't help but think back to an earlier moment in my time as a pastor. I once officiated a high-profile wedding attended by people with connections to Washington, D.C. Politicians, elected officials, lobbyists, and representatives from well-known organizations were all there. After the wedding, a journalist from a major Washington newspaper, perhaps maybe someone you might recognize, approached me and said, "Pastor, that was a beautiful wedding. I was deeply moved." His eyes were filled with tears, and the entire experience genuinely touched him. Seeing him so moved, I felt compelled to ask, "Well, friend, are you a Christian?" He looked at me and said, "No, but I am an agnostic." I wonder what he meant by that term, agnostic. I was curious if he was actually searching for God but hadn't found him yet. For I truly respect people who are earnestly seeking God, but maybe haven't found him. But he could also be using the word agnostic as an excuse to live in the ways that he wanted to live. So I boldly asked him, which one was it? I was pretty spirited back then, and some of you know that I still can be. But at that moment, it felt incredibly intense. I asked that question with a smile on my face, yet he looked back at me with complete seriousness and said, "I am sincerely searching for God." I remember telling him, "I'm so glad to hear that. Keep searching, my friend, and I hope you will find him. And if you would like, here's my card. I would love to talk with you about it." That event for me is a heartfelt reminder that the moral gap between those who genuinely seek God and those who don't is truly significant. The difference between the two is quite vast. In today's gospel, the Magi from the East show us that they are not only seeking out God, but also willing to put in a great deal of effort to find him. While many think of Magi as kings, philosophers, or religious figures in Persia, they were actually members of the culture's educated class. They are most likely astrologers and astronomers, the kind of scientists who love to study the stars. And God used that. God met them right where they were and provided a sign to them in the sky, a shining star. Their dedication is inspiring as they most likely traveled hundreds of miles to follow wherever the star led them, ultimately bringing their gifts to Jesus, paying homage to him, and worshiping Jesus. That quality of willingness to step out and follow the truth wherever it may lead, along with putting in significant effort, truly reflects the sincerity of their hearts as they sought for God. As we celebrate this day of Epiphany, the day where God in the flesh manifests himself, shows himself to the Gentiles, today is a good time to reflect on our loved ones who may not yet worship God. Our family members, friends, and neighbors who have drifted away from worship, or even those who might not know that God is real, might not believe in Jesus, or join us in worship. Thinking about this, it's worth asking ourselves, why is that? Why are they not here? Where is their hearts? Are they genuinely searching for God but haven't found him yet? Are they asking difficult questions? Are they actually seeking the truth? Or are they perhaps so caught up in worldly and sinful pursuits that God isn't even on their radar? It's helpful to keep in mind that people have many reasons for their unbelief or doubts about God. While there are numerous factors, three main ones stand out. One, intellectual reasons. Two, psychological reasons. And three, moral reasons. Intellectual, psychological, and moral reasons. Let's look at each one of those today. Intellectually, the reasons are pretty straightforward. There's a lot of confusion out there about who God truly is and what it means to believe in him. Many of the challenges to Christianity or to God himself are actually sophisticated, yet straightforward, deceptions. People often underestimate how compelling the case for Christianity is from an intellectual standpoint, and how strong the scientific, philosophical, and historical reasons for believing in God actually are. As a result, many fall into the traps by the arguments of the new atheists, which back in the early 2000s were like a passing intellectual fad. If you look closely at those arguments, you see they tend to be relatively shallow, leading people to believe that they have a solid case against God, when in reality, that is not the case. The reality is that atheism itself is a form of superstition. There are no good arguments for atheism, just as there are no good arguments against Jesus himself. But many people have a hard time with that because they don't know what they don't know. So there's a lot of confusion out there. In the future, we should have a workshop on faith and science to make it clear that faith and science coexist beautifully. In fact, science is an excellent way to explore and appreciate the world that God has created. And it even points us towards God. I've also put together a helpful paper on this issue. It's called Christianity is True. It's on the table to the right as you exit the sanctuary. Feel free to pick it up for free. It shares many reasons of how creation, science, philosophy, and history support the reality of God, and it thoughtfully addresses common questions and concerns that people have about Christianity and about God. So pick up that paper if you'd like. I hope that it could be a benefit to you and your family. But also feel free to take one and give it away to people that you know that are questioning God or questioning Christianity. So second, there are also psychological reasons why people don't believe in God. And this gets down to perhaps psychological woundings or relational woundings that have to do with issues with the heart. There is a professor named Dr. Paul Vitz who wrote a book called The Psychology of Atheism. In it, he explores how people's complicated relationships with those who should care for them and serve as positive role models, especially when they've been deeply hurt by such people in their lives, such hurtful relationships affect people's beliefs about God. When painful experiences or scandals in the church break trust, it becomes challenging for individuals to believe in a good, loving God because they have suffered unjustly at the hands of people whom they should have been able to trust and receive care, including the church. For instance, though, it is really tough for someone to understand God as the good, loving father if that person's own parents were abusive. Often, they might project all their negative feelings about their father figures onto God, which makes faith and acceptance of God even harder for them. Next, I want to take a moment to explore the moral reason why people might struggle with belief in God. Today, the main challenge isn't so much a lack of arguments for Christianity, and it's not the absence of or support of people that are dealing with wounds. Instead, what statistics point to, and what I personally observe as a pastor, is that the real barrier is often people's indifference, worldliness, or acceptance of sin in their lives. Many are so caught up in sin or the pursuit of worldly pleasures that they overlook the possibility of something greater. This can leave people feeling stuck in rebellion and in their sinfulness, unable to move towards a different, more hopeful path, unable to move towards God. Consider this cycle. When someone doesn't understand that God is love, they miss out on the truth of God's nature and the deep meaning that goes beyond this world. Without this understanding, they often throw themselves into chasing after worldly pleasures, status, fame, or power, often in sinful ways. Because of this, they see the world without a higher power, truth, or goodness. This perspective can make them focus mainly on themselves, overlooking everything outside of themselves, because they don't recognize that those things point to something beyond them. When someone becomes very self-focused and prideful, they can ignore reality. At that point, feelings wrongly trump facts, and they may even try harder to fill their lives with worldly things that make them feel good, even though it's sinful. All of that can feel like being caught in a spiritual trap, one that's hard to break from. During these challenging moments, where people may feel doubt because of intellectual, psychological, or moral reasons, that person's genuine desire to find the truth must remain sincere and strong. And that's the main point, my friends. Seeking the truth about God comes from the heart. It's about staying open to the truth and being willing to accept the truth wherever you find it. This can be really challenging for many people because those caught in these types of traps first need to admit that they are not God, and that they are not living in reality. And that's hard, especially for someone who is very self-focused and prideful. They tend to believe they control everything and decide for themselves what's right and what's wrong. But realizing that I'm not God means that I'm not the center of the universe. And my life isn't just about me. That's a tough realization for many people. And because that realization is true, I have to let go of trying to control everything and instead let God and His holy word control my life and my morals. And if I have to let go of control, that means I have to face my fears rather than medicate them through pleasures and sins. All of this is a big step. And for many, it can feel quite overwhelming. In fact, this can feel quite intimidating because they have to go to a place they may not yet be ready for. And that place is God. That's a high bar. But that high bar, God, is a place that only by God's grace are people able to get to it. But we, who are blessed to know the love of God and to understand who He is, how He reveals Himself, and how He gives Himself to His people by His grace, realize that the God that we're invited to submit to is actually a God who humbly comes to serve us. He is a God who offers us truth, hope, forgiveness, and mercy. Because of this deep understanding of His character, it comes much easier for us to surrender our lives to Him. Brothers and sisters, what God reveals to us in Christianity truly transforms how we can better can unite ourselves to the Creator who made us. Unfortunately, those who haven't come to belief may not realize this truth, and so they miss out on it. Again, often people don't know what they don't know, leading them to choose isolation and fall into common traps. The truth is, when people aren't genuinely seeking God, they often aren't truly interested in evidence. They may overlook or dismiss evidence of God's existence, even seeking reasons to explain it away or find evidence against it. If someone isn't really open to the truth, what happens around them doesn't seem to matter much. They might hear about recent events here at Cornerstone Church, that there is the proclamation of the truth in gospel. There are extraordinary events that are happening, and the poor are fed, and the experience of God's grace and mercy that is found here. Yet, they may not truly listen. No matter how intelligent they are, for someone whose heart is closed or hardened, it's impossible to reach them because it's never just about the evidence. It's about what's happening in their own heart. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that nothing can overcome a closed heart, a hardened heart, except the heart itself opening from within and God's sheer grace breaking through. It is only by God's grace, not our choice and not our decision, but by God's grace that we are saved. And so God's grace needs to break through their hearts. That's why it doesn't matter how many PhDs you might have. If your heart isn't genuinely open, all that knowledge doesn't matter. As we come together in prayer today for our loved ones who might not practice the true Christian faith, and perhaps who, for some of our own friends, family, and neighbors, who are facing tough challenges, it's important to remember that wise men and women always seek after Jesus. Some people are earnestly searching and haven't yet found him, and that's okay. I want to remind you that we don't truly know where others are in their spiritual journey, nor do we know what's in their hearts. Only the Lord knows that. Some might be more sincere in their search, while others might still be questioning. No matter what factors or influence are influencing their unbelief, our role is to encourage them to ask difficult questions, explore the true Christian faith, and to help them seek the truth about their lives and their purpose. Using questions like, what are we here for? What happens after we pass away? Who is God and who are we? What should we believe about Jesus, who says that he is God? Let's start asking these big questions so everyone can be inspired to seek the truth with an open heart. Remember, it's important to approach those who are exploring the Christian faith with kindness and understanding. The journey can be incredibly difficult and lonely for many people, especially when they feel surrounded by disbelief or doubt. We shouldn't judge them, because our own faith is a gift from God by God's grace. Our faith is something God has revealed to us, and then he sustains it by his grace. Instead of looking down on those who aren't sure, let's pray earnestly for them, walk with them, point them to God and His church, and ask God to open their hearts to His love and His truth. He can reveal His presence to them in powerful ways, helping them to find their way out of the darkness and into His beautiful light. For He, Jesus, is the light of the world. Finally, as we continue to help those around us, let's remember that there's always more of Jesus for each of us to discover. If God is truly who He says He is, the God of love, the God of life, and the fullness of truth, then there is always something more waiting for us. Let's choose to seek after Jesus wholeheartedly with our whole lives, all of our lives, putting in the effort needed so that we can keep finding Him. And as we do, may we be eager to open up the treasures within our lives to Him, because in Him we find the priceless treasure that we genuinely want to hold on to forever. Friends, wise men still seek after Jesus. Let's go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful that You are the light of the world, that You show the way, O God, even in the midst of darkness. Lord, there are many people in our lives, and in fact, statistically, here in Pella, we have come to understand that over 60% of people that surround us, even here in Pella, do not regularly attend church. Lord, we ask that You would open our eyes to such people in our families, and that, Lord, we would be willing to do the work that You call us to do as faithful followers of You, that we, like the wise men, may do the work and follow You, that we may see You as our light and then point others to You as their light as well. God, it is only in You that we are saved. We thank You for coming. We thank You for all that You have done in our lives. And we ask, O Lord, that as we think about these things, we may praise Your name, and that praise would bring many to You. Amen.